No, it is a privilege to be back again here, and I felt we just got a short introduction. I don't remember, was it about a year ago or how long? Yeah, it's about a year ago, but started to connect with his family, and we live in Atlanta in Peachtree City. Just want to share a couple of things about us. Have a beautiful wife named Jennifer. She wanted actually to be here because she loved this family and she loved Michelle and Greg. And so she also wanted to be part of it. But instead, I was able to bring my daughter, Courtney. Can you welcome Courtney here? I have a son who is 25 who lives in Nashville. And we have three daughters, Lila, who is married. And it's kind of an interesting thing because being a Norwegian, I'm married to a Cherokee Indian. And then you can imagine my kids. So you have a Viking, Cherokee Indian. And then now my daughter, Lila, my oldest daughter, she's married to an African American. So we're going to have chocolate grandbabies in the future. So we are definitely an international family. And then we have Courtney, and Courtney, she went 2 years to the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. Then she traveled for a year over to Europe and ministered in a church there for a year, and she's back again, and I love having her back. She was also in the office with me for a couple of years, and now I have her other two sisters working in the office. So that's a good thing, is just to have a family business where if you want your kids around, you just hire them. And if you pay them well, they will stay. No. Now, anyway, so we're doing amazingly, amazingly good. And then Catherine is the baby. She just graduated high school. And I had the privilege, and I will recommend that to you fathers. I told my kids, because I traveled so much, I said when they were small, when you graduate high school, you can go anywhere you want to in the world for up to 1 month with your dad. Just make the list of anywhere in the world you want to go up to 1 month at the time of graduation. And I didn't realize when I challenged them on that first the old one had a long list, and then the next one's going to do greater than the next one again. And I just finished with the last one. We just traveled to 7 countries, and we did the 22 cities in Europe together with my 18-year-old. But it's a phenomenal bonding time, and I've just kind of this whole year been all over the world. And I just came from Myanmar in Burma, where we had it was actually revival fire came, and it was so beautiful. Some of the most amazing creative miracles. We just literally saw cancer just falling off people's body, just disappearing. And we had 3 people with stroke that was totally healed, that was paralyzed on one side because of stroke. And that's another creative miracle, because God then touches the brain, but also blind eyes open, deaf ears open, amazing miracles. And to be Burma and Myanmar, we had about 500 people saved at one night. And it was just a beautiful time. And from there, we went to Malaysia, Penang, Malaysia. And we had leaders from 22 nations that came together. And it did something with me to be able to see people from India, from Pakistan, from Bangladesh, 22 nations, and literally see the environment changing and to see how we are family. So I just saying as an encouraging word that congratulations, you're born for such a time as this. It's never been a greater time to be alive. And God is moving in a way. There's like just in one Muslim country right now, I just got a report, 15,000 Muslims just got saved and was baptized. Listen, I'm heading also to England in a few weeks, I think in a few weeks. I'm going to Sri Lanka tomorrow. So I'm flying about 32 hours, stopping in United Arab Emirates, and then to Sri Lanka. We have about 3,000 leaders coming in there, and we're going to spend a week together with them and then send them back again. So this is what I do, is I travel and just love on people. I say, save, receive. Receive. Save, receive. Receive. I'm just receiving love, then become. Say, become. Come. Then you become love, and now what you become is what you release. Say, release. Everything in the kingdom can only be received. Say, received. Receive. Just think about it. Salvation, healing, everything in the kingdom can only be received. So that's why we have to learn to be good receivers. But then what you receive, that's the process. Then you become. And now when you become it, because you teach what you know, but you reproduce what you are. So I can teach certain things on love if I've received love, and I can also. But when you become love, you can give what you become. So you can impart what you become. So that's the beautiful process, is that you're receiving something that you then have become, and then what you become is what you start to leak. And you start to release it into the environment and change the environment. And I just felt very clearly that God has some environment changers in this place. And what is going to happen is it's going to be more being like a thermostat instead of a thermometer, where you were just going in and set the temperature that is in that room. But what he is doing is setting the temperature in this room first. He's taking us into the secret places, because that's where you find the secrets. The problem, and this is one of the things I'm learning, you're going into the secret place and then you get some secrets. And the one that you've been with is the one that you're becoming like. But now in the next moment, everybody wants to do a secret conference. And you lose your secret. And then they want you to do a secret book. So I'm just saying that the challenge in this is just that in one way you're going in there and what you're beholding is what you're becoming and not what you become. But now we are seeing around in a nation, there is such a hunger. God is moving like we've never seen it before. There is a 1 billion soul harvest that is coming. I don't know what news you're listening to, but I just want to remind you, if you're listening to the kingdom news, everything in the kingdom is looking very good right now. The increase of his government, that means the kingdom, the increase of his government, but also the increase of his peace, shalom, shall have no end. It's just going to continue to grow and grow and grow until Jesus comes back. The kingdom of the Lord is going to become the kingdom of this world, and he is going to rule and reign forever. The glory of God is going to hover the whole earth as water covered the sea. So congratulations, even with all the darkness and all the things that you're hearing around the news. I tell people I get so excited because I'm in the light business. And with all this darkness, my stock goes up. And they talk about there's a lot of fear, but perfect love casts out fear. So I'm just receiving an upgrade in love every time there is fear. So I'm just encouraging you, because as a family of families that is going to bless this city and nation. I just want you to just use your imagination for 1 second. Just imagine if it was just Greg that I had. And I spent some time just loving on Greg, pouring into him, because this is part of what I do in the Muslim world. Just spending time investing in life, loving them without any agenda. No hook. I'm not loving them, because if not, you're going to be like a salesperson. But they don't know exactly what to do when there's a perfect love and you love people without any hook. You love them because you are love. It's just something I've received, and what I've received I'm just giving away. But I just want you to imagine, say if Greg had a church of 10 people here. Just see the picture. And each one of you just had one person that you loved on for 6 months, that experiencing God's love on a practical level. Then the two of you, as they had an encounter, received and become love, the two of you started to give love. And that will continue. So every 6 months this would happen. Do you know about, just from me pouring into Greg, do you know how many people would have experienced his love in 20 years? 500 and some thousand people. That's just, could you do that every 6 months? Just targeting somebody, just asking God, Holy Spirit, just come. Anybody in my workplace or Waffle House or this one person, I just want everybody to have a God that looks like Jesus. And 93% of Atlanta have a view of God that does not look like Jesus. Often they have a God that is a little bit bipolar in nature. And he seems to be in a mood swing. And it's all up to you to please him. So people are living for love because they don't know how to live from love. And they are living for an inheritance instead of from an inheritance. So part of my heart today is just, I want to take on a little trip to Pakistan. We went in because some of you watched on the news when two suicide bombers went into two churches. That was just, I think it was in March. And I watched it on CNN here in Atlanta. And like many of us, I started to weep when I saw the horrific scenes of my brothers and sisters and the persecution, the fear, and they didn't know what was going to happen. But it was like a church service like this at St. John and also Christ Church, St. John Catholic Church. But when they were leaving out, the suicide bombers walked in the middle of the masses just to do mass damage. What you maybe did not know, because I met him, one young man, he just got married. And what he did is, first of all, they killed his wife. He just got married. But when he saw that he had bombs on the suicide bomber, he ran up and he wrapped himself around the suicide bomber and held himself there. And he blew himself up. And he sacrificed his life to save as many people of the congregation as possible. And that day, 14 people got killed. But it would have been about 200 people killed if he didn't wrap love around the people. So he had just lost his bride. And then in the next moment, he just goes there and he wraps his arms of love around this guy that then blows him up. And as a result, saved a lot of lives. So I just wanted to take on this trip to Pakistan because I went over there two Sundays afterwards. I'm in that Catholic church. And I'm standing there in the Catholic church having the top Sunnah Muslim, the top Shia Muslim, having the top Sikh, Hindus, all these religious leaders in that church. And I'm speaking a message on love with all the religious fractions coming together. Met with the government. We also had it on television, spread all over the nation. And I started to release the language of love. So I'm just encouraging us right now that I want you to know that love is winning. It works anywhere. I have never been to a place. I've never seen anybody that had been so hard. I have one challenge. I have a picture of this one guy who is a very radical Muslim. And this guy, he kind of was looking at me like, who are you, infidel? It's like, and I could see he definitely was one of those that in a moment would love to kill me. But I'm just falling more and more in love with him. We are sitting in a room. And my challenge is, without saying a word, because this is where the covert revival comes in. My challenge is the fear that he has towards me going to win or the love that I have towards him? And if perfect love casts out fear in that room, who is going to win? So, I mean, so that was one of the challenges and the environment just changed. And so let me just give a statement here for us this morning. You have authority over what you love. You only have authority over what you love. Don't pray for your city if you don't love your city. So when we start to love people out there, when we genuinely love people because we have received something, and all we have received is we become something that we now give away. That's just a very simple plan that works everywhere. So my challenge has just been, as I'm seeing, going into Sharia Law College. You will see that on the video. I'm going into Sharia Law with a future PhD scholars that is going to control Islam. And in that kind of an atmosphere and environment, to be a first Christian ever to lecture at Minhaj University. So how do you get that? It's a love thing. And one of the top Muslim scholars of the world, he eventually comes up to me, and afterwards he just greets me, and we get some time together. And then I realized this guy, 95 nation, including Atlanta, he is an influencer. And there's 35 million people directly underneath his covering. And I was thinking, what can I give him as an honor gift? Because I want to mention something else. Honor is what love looks like. Let me say that again. Honor is what love looks like. When we really honor people, when you're able to see that, you have that wow effect. You're able to see the gold in people, even if there's a lot of mud. Are you getting it? This is the way God is. Even while we are sinners, Christ died for us. So while we are still in a mess, he loved us, didn't he? So and when we start also to receive that from him, that's the whole grace message. I've received something and all I do is to give it away. And how to become an environment changer. So the challenge was that this guy, I gave him Seeing Through Heaven's Eyes. I encourage you, if you have not read that book, at the Voice of the Apostle, it sold out in as soon as I just mentioned that this imam, he read my book. I gave the book to him and I knew it's a high risk. Because I could get in trouble for some of my writing in that book. But this imam, less than 24 hours later, he calls me on the phone and he says, Dr. Leaf, he calls me Dr. Leaf. My name is Leif, by the way. He said, Dr. Leaf, I don't know what is happening to me, but I started to read your book yesterday and I've been reading it all day and all night. But I started to cry every time I put the book down and then I started to read again and I start to cry. I don't cry. And this guy's middle 60s, Muslim. Imams and leaders, they don't cry. They don't show more. But this guy's on the phone crying with me. And he said, I don't know what's happened, but these waves are just going up and down. And it will not stop. And the covert is, it's a baptism of love. That is the Jehovah sneaky. So sometimes what we're saying, there is an overt, and we've learned that, but we are learning also how to do a covert revival, going underneath the radar, changing the environment, and now the whole group of the atmosphere is changing. And then all of these people having an encounter with Jesus without you speaking a word. So this is also a fun thing that we're going to learn how to do in our workplaces and everywhere else, is to learn to become environment changer. And that's what love does. Because when there's perfect love and we're rooted in love and we're motivated in love, we're just receiving love and giving love. Everybody can do that. It's just receive, say receive, then become, then release. So let's look at this little video, and then I'm going to just share a couple of stories, and then we're going to pray and have some good time together. Courtney, can I get some water? Oh, here it is. I just got back from Pakistan about a week ago, and I just wanted to kind of connect with you and share my heart of some of the things that God is doing. One of my biggest highlights was actually gathering. We had about 400 people from the persecuted church, and we just brought them together mainly to encourage them, to strengthen them, to give them a fresh baptism of love, but then also to be able to minister healing because they've gone through so much. And it was an incredible highlight to just see in a matter of about 2.5 days, the presence of God just started to change the atmosphere. The perfect love of God just took away fear. And then as a result of that, we had over 180 healing that just took place. So when we finished after 2 days, 2.5 days, literally there was a transformation that took place in so many people's lives. So what a joy to be able to be part of that. And then from there, I had also the honor of being a lecturer at Minhaj University with all of these Islamic scholars, leaders, thinkers in Islam, and to be able to how do we actually bring peace to the Middle East? And I started to speak about the language of love. And then we had question and answering time. And it was amazing just to watch some of them, their engagement, how they challenged me, but also to see again the favor of God just came into that place. And when it was finished, I think we had a totally different worldview in regard to how be able to see how we can solve some of the tragedies that is going on. There was also a joy for me to be able to be in Islamabad, in the capital city where the federal minister was, the Belgian ambassador from Saudi Arabia, the ambassador. But here we have the Sunni Muslim, Shia Muslim, the top Sikh, Hindu, top leaders from all over, and about 400, mainly Muslim scholars and leaders nationwide, both with the government. And I was one of the chief honorary guests, right at that kind of a platform on television, was able to release all over the nation of Pakistan, just be able to be an ambassador of love to represent heaven. And one of the painful part for me was because less than 2 weeks before we went, there was these suicide bombers in Lahore. And it just broke my heart. I was sitting here watching on CNN and I was just weeping. And I just felt in my heart, it is time to do something about this. This is our family, brothers and sisters. And we went to St. John Catholic Church and to Christ Church and brought actually religious leaders from all different religious backgrounds. And I got the honor. And 2 Sundays afterwards, where you see all this devastation, to be able to stand in this Catholic church with full church. This is just a few weeks after the bombing and the blast, and over 20 people killed, and so many people were wounded. And again, to be able to represent heaven in this incredible dark atmosphere. But the joy was also to bring the Sunni Muslim, Shia Muslim, Christians, all of them together in a unity to condemn some of this darkness. I encourage you just to join us, because we are making a difference. We're making a dent, and I do believe that all over the Middle East, as more and more believers is changing their worldview in the way we are seeing Muslims, and to be able to see Islam from heaven's view, we're going to see a transformation together. What I wanted to do this morning, because I believe that God is about to start a goodness revolution from this church. I really did. It came very clear into my spirit, even when I watched this, but it's going to be a goodness revolution starting, where the goodness of God is going to create a mass repentance also, because that's what happens is when people are experiencing the goodness and the kindness of God in a tangible way. So how does God's goodness look like on a daily basis? And how is that going to be displayed? It's going to be through generosity. We're going to see a lot of healings. But just we're going to start intentionally as a people just to have a lot of fun with this. And for the first 28 days, as you're going to be able to see you the way that Papa God sees you. When you look in the mirror and you're able to see you the way that he sees you. I know that you believe in him. And at the moment you believe in him, you get saved. At the moment you believe in Jesus. But at the moment you know Jesus believes in you, you get transformed. And there is something that he wants to do in our life. We're going to first taste and we're going to receive. And we're going to experience his goodness in a way we've never experienced it before. That is going to actually do something in us, to us, with us, and through us. And then this goodness is going to start to spread. It's going to touch everywhere you go. His goodness is going to be on display. So if I ask some of the young people, and I were to ask the question, if you go to Starbucks and you have a boss, or perhaps a school teacher that is not that nice and kind, how many cup of coffee do you buy? You buy two. Because you are part of the goodness fest. So it's a practical, tangible way. Or you buy maybe two apples, one for that boss and one for yourself. So we are starting just in tangible ways for people experiencing, and they're going to be able to taste and they're going to see that he is good. Can you say amen to that? Okay. So practically speaking, for your life, for your family and everything else, let's find tangible ways that we're going to display his goodness and kindness on a daily basis. Can we do that? But I just felt that this church, you're birthing something. Wouldn't it be amazing that 5.3 million people in Atlanta, every one of them will be able to experience, because other churches will come here and say, how do you do this? How does love look like? How far can God's love go? I think I've just demonstrated, you saw in some of the Middle East. But I'm interested in this very topic. I'm going to give you a kind of a bigger picture today, and then I'm going to narrow it down for the last 10 minutes on the message on baptism of love. I'm going to have a slide up here just so that you can kind of get a picture. It's very important for us to understand. Say understand. Understand the time we are living in. Say time. We're living in a very significant time right now. And I am kind of a concern because some of the attacks, even against me, that is coming here. But if you're looking at the believers and you ask the believers in America as a large, and you're saying that which cities in America deserve the most judgment, the list of the believers were going in and say San Francisco, they would say Hollywood, they would say Las Vegas, they would say New Orleans, and they would say New York City. And eventually also now probably they will add Washington, D.C. because of this new marriage act. So what I'm saying here is John 20:21 says, if you forgive the sins of any, if you forgive the sins of any, if you forgive the sins of any, not Jesus, if you forgive the sins of any, they will be forgiven. But if you hold the sins against any, they will be retained. Your view and attitude towards the sinner has all to do how God treats it, not because it is his will. So when the believer is coming into an agreement with a thief who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Yes. So one of the leaders said publicly on television, and I don't want to mention the name out of honor, but said that God is going to have to judge America. And if he doesn't, he's going to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And I was thinking, even in that old covenant, the problem in Sodom and Gomorrah was not the homosexuality and the perversion. It was the lack of light. The problem is never darkness, but the lack of light. So when Abram stepped into the equation and said, what if we have 50 righteous here? Will you spare the city? What if, this is the old covenant. What about if we have 45? What about if we have 40? What if, and let me just remind you, in San Francisco, by the way, there's more than 50 righteous. But my question is, even there with Abraham, it was not God that stopped the negotiation. Abraham did. What if Abraham have stepped in and said, there's only one. Could you take what they deserve and you place that on me? That's what we do as minister of reconciliation. So what we are doing is we're stepping into the equation here. So when we're saying those cities, so this scripture verse in John 20:21, the view that we have of these cities has often not to do with what God wants. Because I know God's heart. And you can see that with Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It's a whole motivation of God's love for the world that he sent his only son. And he didn't want He didn't send his son to condemn the world, but he wanted the world to be rescued. So the very heart of Father God in the beginning. What I wanted to give you here is just a quick little picture as an overview, because we are in an inlet of a new transition. There is another wave coming. There's been two major waves, two major reformation. Some of us, we've been focusing on getting out of here instead of bringing Jesus into here. We need to understand that when you started to hear the thief in the night or the late great planet Earth and all of these things that came in the 70s when I was a young guy, I remember we were so scared because Jesus is coming soon. Yeah. And then you had the Y2K. Do you remember Y2K? Generators are very cheap right now. Yeah. And some of those cabins in the woods and the food that is still there. I'm just saying that over 2,000 years, the people that didn't understand their time, they didn't understand the time, and they did not know what to do. That's the spirit of the sons of Issachar. So I wanted to help you just with a little bit bigger picture, because there is another reformation coming. There's a tsunami wave coming, and it is called a tsunami wave. I call it the Agape Reformation. But did you know that the world are about to see we are his disciples, because the way we love one another? The Bible is very, very clear. So I want you to see. So first of all, there was a reformation, 1517. Do you remember Martin Luther? In less than 2 years, we're all going to celebrate this incredible thing that took place. How many of you are excited that you're saved by grace? Just wave to me. How many of you that you don't have to go to a priest, or you don't have to go to Greg, and he has to stand between you and God, and there's all this manipulation? Okay, let me ask another question. How many of you are excited about middle class? All of you upper class, or? Are you grateful that there is a middle class in America? That wouldn't have been there if it was not for the first Reformation. There was only two classes at that time. You either had the poor people, the people that didn't know how to read and write, and then you had a few people, including some priests, they had the access to the Word of God. They had access to revelation and knowledge. But because of Martin Luther, somebody paid a price. That's what we are playing. We always have to understand that, is that somebody has paid, and there's somebody that paid a price. Because of that, we have received an inheritance. And today, if anyone in this service are not the born-again Christian, how many of you believe that the Holy Spirit, if he convinced these people, that it's easy for people to get saved? Yeah. It's just to receive it by grace. It's a gift by grace, and by faith, you just received a gift. You just believe it and receive it. But that was not the case for over 1,500 years. So, but I'm saying this on a purpose, because that there was a world that was changed. Gutenberg with a printing press. Now people had access to the Word of God. Martin Luther, he wrote these 95 theses, and I don't have the time. This is an 8-hour seminar, but I wanted to just hit towards why the baptism of love. That's where we're going to go. But I wanted to give you the bigger picture of what God is doing, what God is up to, so that you have stocks in what's going on. If not, what you're doing is you're going to try to ride a previous wave, instead of getting ready for this next wave that is coming and is sweeping across the world right now. So with this reformation, you could see intellect, reasoning. If you had as a core value of the first reformation, because they were protesters. So I love the first reformation. I honor the first reformation, but not everything was restored. Did you know that? If healing had been restored in 1517, it would have been as easy for a quadriplegic to come up on a wheelchair, or somebody with Alzheimer's to be healed, as somebody to get saved. Since salvation is the greatest creative miracle. Are you getting it? So there is an unfolding of what is taking place. And Jesus is going to be seated in heaven until when? Until the restoration of all things. And that is according to the book of Acts, chapter 3. So I am just describing this first reformation. They were protesters. They gathered around, and what brought unity was doctrine. Say doctrine. That means you had to believe what I believe. And if you believe what I believe, you said amen. And when you didn't, then we got divorced. And then we started another orphanage that we call church. And then you had another orphanage where orphans is gathering together. There is nothing wrong. It's just something that is not right. So in this kind of a setting, denominationalism, all of that came because you were protesters. You protesters. Anything that a Catholic church have, they call father, don't call anybody father, and etc. So you have all these different things that came also as a reaction to some of the abuses that had been. But God is doing something very beautiful. We need the first reformation. The word was restored. It was a reformation of grace. But if you wanted somebody on the pulpit, you wanted somebody that had proper doctrine. Perhaps they had a PhD, theology doctor, that would teach you. And according to what your knowledge and what you will get, that had to do with the value. So they started universities and etc. So we are very grateful what happened to the whole world as a result of that first reformation. But there were some weaknesses, as I say, because you had all these orphans coming together and they were powerless. And they were there was a lot of division taking place. So despite of this amazing thing that God was restoring, he's about to do something else. And in 1906 became a birthing point of, you see here, an inlet from a river to a bay. Now you see it's another reformation. It was a reformation of power. So now you have the word and the spirit together. If you overemphasize the word, you dry up. You overemphasize the spirit, you blow up. You bring it together, you grow up. So here we are seeing that it was a remerge between the word and the spirit. But of course, a lot of these people in 1906, the Holy Spirit has been around from eternity past. Grace has been around from eternity past. But I'm just talking about now an experiential thing that people have access to on a global level that is different than revival, different than renewal. There is coming another reformation. But in this next reformation that came, it became a birthing point, 1906. And if we had a time, I would show you all the different waves, including what happened with the great healing revival, what happened with the Latter-day Rain movement, and etc. The gifts was being restored back again. The first reformation, there was pretty much just, you had a pastor, teacher. You didn't even have the evangelist because they had more a reformed worldview that God is going to save who is going to save. But I think that today we're seeing the fivefold has been restored. And I praise God for the apostles, for the prophets, for the evangelists, the pastors, and the teacher. All of these fivefold gifts is to equip the body so that we become a healthy body. And I am so much dreaming for this pure and spotless bride that is going to get her identity back, that if somebody just coming in contact with us, that they're going to get healed. We don't even have to pray, but the immune system in the body of Christ is going to be so healthy that stage 4 cancer cannot live there. I'm dreaming of that. We have seen it several times where 100% of the people have been healed without anyone laying their hands on them. Just the presence of God flowing through a family that love God and love one another and let that flow into the community. But I'm saying that here were some of the core values. The first reformation, it was the word. It was teaching. It was doctrine. It was unity was based upon you have to have agreement. The next reformation, what is the core value? Anointing, giftings, power. Wow. How many of you are excited about the Holy Spirit? I'm so glad that we have the Holy Spirit. For many years, I knew about the first Reformation as a good Baptist. And I know that's shocking to some of you, but I went to Luther Rice, and that's actually here in Atlanta. So I was a Southern Baptist, and I knew the Word, and I knew the first Reformation. I knew the doctrine. Later on, the Holy Spirit came in, and he messed me up. And he didn't just mess me up. He messed up my church, my Baptist church. He just started to show up. But as I said, but the core value here, and this became my core value when Randy Clark, June 6, 1995, he laid hands on me. And when he prayed for me, something exploded. Some of you have heard a story. I ended up on the floor for over 2 hours, and it was a mixture of fire and electricity. And when I came up from that very place, my biggest dream at that moment in my life was to see, until this encounter, was to see my Baptist church grow from 185 to 200 people. That was my biggest dream in life. And I was burned out. I mean, it was like trying to herd cats. It was a hard, hard job to take in. And then as soon as I had a couple of people saved, we had a couple of funerals. And it's like starting all over again. But then you have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, a power encounter that changes me. Laying on the floor, you're coming up from that very place. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The Holy Spirit within you is for yourself, but the Spirit upon you is for everybody else around you. So the purpose of the Holy Ghost is a holy goal. So now I'm here, but what I didn't realize, I was an orphan in the first Reformation. I'm still an orphan in the second. I'm just an orphan with power. I still had an orphan heart, Great parents. I'm not talking about that. My dad is a businessman, loves Jesus. But I say my heart is what I was doing for God, because I didn't know how to live from God. I was an achiever because my core value system is that here's what you do. Is you have to do something. Say you have to do. Because if you do something, then you have. Say have. And if you have something, you become something. That was my core value. So in our system, the more you do, the greater the identity becomes. And then that has to do with the acceptance in our system. But now it's very different. I'm already accepted because I'm a son. And because I'm accepted, I'm a son, I have. And because of what I already have, I just do. Can you see the difference? The first one will say, I believe. Say that with me. Then I behave. Then I belong. Now it is, I belong. And I believe, and then I behave. It's a major shift that God did, but still in the Second Reformation, the reason I'm saying that, I love the anointing, I love the gifts, I love the power, I love, but despite of this move of God's Spirit that I honor, are you hearing me? I'm celebrating the Holy Spirit, but despite of that, we have a lot of mess. Despite of two major reformations, the world is still in a mess. It's not going to continue to be that way. The first one restored Jesus. The second reformation restored the Holy Spirit. But before the judgment day of the Lord, I'm sending you the spirit of Elijah, which is the fathering spirit. I'm going to turn the father's hearts towards the children. Children's hearts towards the fathers. And that's what's going to stop the curse in the land. What God is going to do, God has always been a family. In the beginning, it was a father, it was a son, and it was a Holy Spirit. They had this brilliant idea. Let us, Father, Son, Spirit, let us make man in our image. Let's create on earth what we have in heaven. The very way we love one another, they are going to love. The way we honor one another, we're totally different, and at the same time, we're one. So there's this culture in heaven that God wanted to develop here on earth. It was this love in heaven that he wants to see here on earth. The dream of God. God was dreaming. The Father, Son, Spirit was dreaming. And after 6 days of creation, the highlight of creation came in. And the highlight of this is when he breathed on Adam, he, ruach. And Adam said, hub. I want you to do that. Open your mouth. Do hub. It's like we are pushed underneath water and you, hub. Or strong wind comes. That's the Hebrew word for father. See, just God takes dust, he breathes, and Adam, daddy, hub, hub. Wind comes in, ruach, Adam, baba. What is the first face that Adam ever sees? It's the face of a loving father. What is the first voice that Adam ever hears? It's the voice of a loving father. What is the first feeling that Adam ever have? It is the love, the perfect love of a father. What is the first experience Adam ever had? It's the presence of his father. And then he's placed right there. The word Eden means pleasure or delight. He's placed right there in the delight and the pleasure of his father. Why is this important? It's connected to this whole restoration. Because what God started in the beginning is what he ends in the ending. Or we need to understand where we're at in time so that we can get in on it. And if not, you will focus on what God is not doing if you don't see what God is doing. Let me say that one more time. If not, what we do is we start to get distracted by what God is not doing. If we don't see what God is doing. But in this incredible environment called Eden, he also put Adam asleep, and we know the story. All of you ladies, wave to me. I want you to see, the Bible says God brought Eve to Adam. So my question is, who did Eve see before she saw Adam? Which voice did she hear? Which love did she feel? Which experience that she had? And then when first Adam have had an experience with Papa, then Eve has, and then they are going to be, not to do, be fruitful. And then what you become, you multiply. So be love, be joy, be peace. Just be, receive it, become. And what you become, you multiply. And what you can multiply, you have authority over it. So be fruitful, multiply, and then have dominion. That was the whole assignment of the Father. Until the first orphan with an orphan spirit, and I've wrote a book that is out there on the table, his name was Lucifer. He left heaven with 1/3 of the fallen angels. And he no longer had a home. He didn't have a place of security. He didn't have a place of love. He didn't have a place of value. He didn't have a place of purpose any longer. And he became restless. All demonic spirit is restless in nature. That's why rest is the most powerful weapon in your warfare. Because out of rest, you're wearing the enemy out. So when you can just enter into the hard work of rest, you're actually making the enemy nervous. Because he operates on frequency since the beginning. And I want you to capture this. This is one important point. And that is, I believe that Lucifer himself, this bright, beautiful archangel, worship leader in heaven, what made him fall? I've been going after this because I've been interested in, because even if I took you back to the garden, they still fell. Even if you went to heaven, they still fell. So I've been on this journey. What was the root behind it? I believe that Papa God loved Lucifer with a perfect love. But do you know what I believe was the root issue with Lucifer? And you can read it in Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. Lucifer didn't love Lucifer the way that the Father God loved him. And until you start to love you the way that he loves you, there's going to be an area where the enemy have access. Job said in the book of Job, he says, the very thing that I fear came against me. So if there's an area where perfect love has not come in, so we're coming into an agreement about all these things that's going to take place, and then they happen, and we believe it was God. Because what we did is we came into agreement with fear, and the very thing we fear, now we attract, and the enemy have access to us. So when Lucifer left heaven and he also came into the garden, here was the root issue. I want to be like the Most High. Why is he the Father and I am just a worship leader? Why is he God and I'm not? I want to be like the Most High. Just read it. There was a root issue. He's thinking, if I have something else, then I will feel better about myself. And that was the trick in the garden. Adam and Eve experienced this perfect God and this perfect atmosphere. They were made in his image. They were able to see his face, hear his voice, feel his love, experiencing his presence. And still, when Lucifer came in and says, if you eat from this, you're going to be like God. And of course, I want to be like him. But as soon as we're going to try to perform for a promise, as soon as we have to do something, what was the root? It was that Adam and Eve didn't love themselves the way their Papa God loved them. And Job, he was the most righteous man on the earth and the richest man in the East. He said very, very clearly, he said, the very thing that I fear came against me. But then he said something, I wish I maybe would never have been born. The most righteous man. There was a root issue there. He didn't love himself. And I'm just saying that because I'm on a journey here. I've received love. I've been on a journey of loving God and loving the world, even the most difficult people. But God has me on a journey right now. Leif, I want you to love you the way that I love you. And how does that look like? Can you look in the mirror and start to see what God is seeing? And can we for the next 28 days receive our upgrade by loving you the way that he loves you? And all you need to do is just to receive, Papa, how much do you love me? And he will tell you. So here is the four simple steps. I want to see me the way that he sees me. Say that. And I want to love me the way that he loves me. And I want to think about me the way he thinks about me. And then I'm going to speak about me what he has to say about me. So say, see, think, feel, say. Oh, Papa, what do you see when you're looking at me? And then just start to write it down for 28 days. I give you the upgrade challenge. You're going to get an upgrade in your worldview. How, when you start to see you the way that he sees you, then you start to see other people differently too. Because who he is to you is who he will be through you. And the biggest thing is you're looking up, then you're looking in, then you're looking out, and then you're looking forward. That's what my book, Seeing Through Heaven's Eyes, is all about, is to get a four-dimensional view. So I'm saying that there is this incredible transition. We've had the anointing, we have had the giftings, we have the power. We can maybe even think if you just raise the dead or create a miracle. We've seen it all over the world. We've seen it also with Jesus, but still it was not transformation. Paul, he went from place to place and it exploded, and then persecution came in and it kind of started to fall apart. And then he had a different strategy later on when he went to Corinth and Ephesus. And by Acts 19:10, everyone in Asia had heard the gospel, the good news. It was a different strategy. So what I'm saying here is, you see the anointing, gifting, title, power. I'm the apostle. I have a bigger stick than you. I mean, so we had all these hierarchy. We have all these weird, strange things. So people are, well, I don't want to be the evangelist. I want to be the apostle or senior pastor. It's the same route that Lucifer started with. Is God really good? And am I really good enough? Is God really good? And am I really valuable? If you know how valuable you are, you're going to start to see the value. You're going to be on a treasure hunt every day of your life, and you will find a treasure in people's life. And even when you're looking in the trash, you're going to be able to see the treasure. In the middle of all of the mud, you're going to find that diamond and rough that is there in people's life, because you're going to treat people not based upon their history, but their destiny. Let me say that again. You're going to start to treat people not based upon their history, but their destiny. And there's something unique in every single person. If I had 1 hour with each one of you, I would. That's what I love to do, is just to show people the identity, to see themselves the way that God sees them, for you to think about you the way he thinks about you, feel about you the way he feels about you, and then for you to start to speak the very words that God has to speak about you. And then from that moment on, start to look at your boss, look at your spouse, look at everybody else the way God sees them. And this is going to change. So here it is. We're right now in an inlet of transition. Can you see those red marks? We're about 8 centimeters along. Some of you women can explain too. Little baby, little push. Big baby, big push. And my wife, I think 9, 10 pounders. They were big babies. And I know, she squeezed my hand. That Cherokee woman that I'm married to is very strong. I felt more sorry for my hand than what she was going through. So, and all those, it didn't work that well. I was trying to. But I'm saying that it's the same in the spirit realm. Right now, all of the things that's taking place, creation is moaning and groaning. What is it moaning and groaning for? The manifestations of the sons and daughters of God. Where are the sons? Where are the daughters? Where is the family? Everything in creation right now, because the kingdom of the Lord is going to become the kingdom of this world. It's not just to get us out of here, it is to get Jesus into here. If you want Jesus to come, it's time to go. Because he is not coming before we are going. So I'm just encouraging us, let's think generational. What if in the 70s, when people were waking up in the morning, instead of thinking about, oh, Antichrist is coming, it's getting bad and it's getting dark. Do you know something? None of these issues that we're dealing with in this country would have happened if the believers would have been light and salt. And if we raised up young people like myself in my Sunday school class, we think about, now that's going to be the next professor at Harvard. Here we have an ethics professor among us. Here we have a philosophy. I mean, we would have people, oh, that's going to be the next senator. Here's the Daniels. Here's the Joseph. Here's the Esthers. Here's the Nehemiah. What if we had thought about those kids in Sunday school? Teach them drive-by healings. Hey, come with daddy. We're going to drive by here and see now. Because whatever overshadows you, see the shadow. I'm saying that there is a reason this place is in a mess. It's not because it is God's will. It is mainly because that a lot of the believers, instead of doing what God wanted us to do, and that is to be light and to be salt, and actually now establishing his kingdom here on earth, we were trying to get out of here instead of bring Jesus into here. So, we're wiser now. Now we're raising up. The next move of God's Spirit is not the youth movement. I'm sorry to say it. It is a family movement. It's a generational movement. Well, we celebrate the young people, and I just want to put this in here. The young people and their generation, including my daughter, what is the ceiling of one generation is becoming the floor to the next generation. It's called a generational blessing that is taking place. Everything that is available. So fathers, they pay a price. Sons and daughters have inheritance. But in the orphanage, it doesn't operate that way, because they are competing with one another instead of completing one another. I'm just going to show you this beautiful picture, because if one can do 1,000, 2, 10,000, what could all of us do together? And in this generation, these young people would... So when I'm coming into my daughter's house, Lila, who is married, I don't go in and tell her what to do, even if I'm her father. Are you getting it? I'm coming in, how can I serve my daughter? So the whole thing that we honor one another, the reason you do not have many fathers in America or fathers in the world, we have a fatherless generation, we've had a lot of orphans that are apostles. or pastors or teachers, evangelists, but orphan hearts and orphan spirits. They got their whole value, they got their security, they got their love and value based upon what they were doing instead of who they are. And that's one of the reasons I'm introducing you now for my last 10 minutes. So there's a birth coming. There's a new reformation coming. We do not throw out the old reformation, okay? We honor, we build upon the Word of God. We build upon, yes, it's important with doctrine. It's just not what unifies us. Because if you have five people in this room and one is an apostle, he will see things differently than the prophet. And the teacher, he is more interesting what scripture verses are used for this. And one makes sure it's rooted and grounded in the Word. Well, the evangelist, well, we have eaten enough. Let's get out here. Highways and byways. Well, the prophets and the apostles operate very differently. And especially the apostolic with blueprints from heaven on the bigger picture of what God wants to do here on earth. And the prophets also decreeing and declaring what's in heaven on earth. Everyone has his function. But when we start to be sons, and I start to see Greg coming together, and I honor him, and he honor me, and we honor one another, that's what love looks like. And that's how the world is going to see where his disciple, because we have learned how to do that. Where everyone is being celebrated instead of tolerated. Be part of a culture of celebration where we celebrate. And when you are up here, if there was the worship team, everybody's like, wow, that's my brother, my sister. When hearing about one person getting healed, everybody's just exploding because that was your healing. Because it's a family. When one stock goes up, all of our stock goes up. But when the enemy attacks one of us, he attacks all of us because we're family. And you're not alone any longer. You're part of a family. So God is restoring his family because despite of the first two reformation, there's conflict. Confusion, there's different things, and we're in inlet of a transition, and there's about to be a birth. We saw the water break in the Philippines 2 years ago. It was the first time that I saw the head of this baby, and just now 22 nations just last week. Totally transformation from the first two into the new one. So what we have seen for 15 years, I've been on this journey. I'm seeing people are able to get it in a weekend. I mean, there's an acceleration. And imagine if I sat down just with each one of you and finding out your identity, your value. What is your instrument? What is it that God is giving each one of you? And then finding out, because everybody has an instrument. And then putting that together with the other instrument. And it's going to create a heavenly sound. So here, but the first baptism of water was connected to the first one that has to do with the identity. Baptism of the Spirit, the second one. And here is the next one. The Agape Reformation is about the baptism of love. Jesus had those three baptisms before he did anything. If not, what you will do is you will have a visitation of the dove of the Holy Spirit. And then you will live with pigeons the rest of the week. And the pigeon religion is very differently than when the dove is there. When the dove is there, you are anointed. When the pigeons are there, you are annoying. When the dove is there, you are prophetic. When the pigeons are there, you are pathetic. And we could go on and on. So what we want is the dove, not just to visit, but to stay, to remain. And it remains in a place of rest, place of shalom. So what excites me about the future, we're going to be known for the way we love. Intimacy, light, community, relationship, rest. It's the hard work of rest. And we're working from rest, not towards rest. Are you getting it? So God is working so that the first day that mankind had with God was a day of rest. The first day that man had with God was a day of rest. Because he didn't want them to work towards rest, but from rest. Rest was the starting point. So what I'm saying about that, there's more fruitfulness, more productivity. Because resting is receiving. Resting is reigning. It is hosting heaven. So we're moving into this birth that is about to change the nations. And the shaking that is going on, it is a typical thing between an inlet of transition. It's right before there's birth, but it's a birth of a glorious reformation. And that is the Father is back. And this is what the whole world has been looking for. Papa God, Father God. And the world is going to actually see a God that looks like Jesus. Jesus came to show us the Father. He said, I will not leave you as an orphan, I will come to you. Jesus came to show us the Father's face, and he's not frowning, he's actually smiling. He's not in a bad mood, he is in a good mood. He's a God of love. He wants his family back. I literally believe what killed Jesus was Jesus became an orphan so that you and I can be sons and daughters. He said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? Just for a moment, he was separated from perfect love so that you and I can be restored again to perfect love. He became sin so that we are righteous. He became sick so by his stripes we're healed. He became shame so that we are now glorified. And we could just go through the long list of the divine exchanges. But the glorious part of this, Jesus came to restore us back again to the Father. And that's what we're starting to see in the churches. Fathers are back again. And the reason you're getting a lot of fathers and mothers is because that a lot of us are learning how to be sons and daughters. Don't focus on who's going to be your father and mother. Just focus. How can I be a son? And how can I be a daughter? And how can I lift up somebody else's vision and mission? This is the biggest key. The increase of his government and peace is going to be up on the shoulder of a son. Unto us a child is born, but a son is given. So Jesus came with one ship, it's called sonship. And if you have that ship, you can have leadership, apostleship, or any other ship to follow. But if you don't have sonship, you have a lot of shipwrecks. Including relationships, or leaderships, or friendships. But if you're just focusing on being a little boy and a little girl with a big, big papa, here is the secret sauce of Jesus' life. And then I land this with a baptism of love. It was first heaven open up. He had a water baptism, first reformation. Spirit baptism, second reformation. The dove came. But then the voice from heaven, from the Father. This is what changed my life, year 2000. My life was transformed, has never been the same, 15 years ago. On a small little carpet in Melbourne, Florida, with Papa Jack Taylor. And these waves of liquid love touched me. And I lay there, and then there was an audible voice from heaven that said the same thing as it said over Jesus. Leif, you're my beloved. You're my beloved, not apostle, teacher, evangelist. You're my beloved son, 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 whom I am well pleased. I love you, Leif. I'm already well pleased with you. You got an A+ on your report card. You're my happy thought. You don't have to do anything for me, but you can do everything from me. But as I lay there on that floor and this liquid love just went in touch, the 12-year-old boy in my life, the 15-year-old went through issue after issue after issue, and I'm still in a journey just to continue to receive love because, whoa, as you see this world that I'm around, they need a lot of love. And all I can do is just receive it until I become something, then I can give it away. So congratulations. Is there anybody here that think that it would be healthy to get a fresh dose? Charles Finney, I want you to see this. D.L. Moody, in my book, Baptism of Love, I write to some of those stories. Derek Prince was another one. But Charles Finney, when he described this liquid love, his baptism of not just fire, but also of love. This liquid love just continued, wouldn't stop. Later on, he just walks into a factory and everybody just starts to weep and is getting saved. And another time, he's just coming on a train, and he's coming on a train. But for 1 mile distance around him, people are just getting saved, and the presence of God just starts to touch people. They can feel he is coming, and over 1 mile distance, it's just that love that was leaking out. When I'm reading those in history, I'm like, I'm jealous for this. I've seen it in the room, the atmosphere changing. But I'm looking for the 1 mile. Just coming and sitting with my car, and all the people are just starting to weep, and all the cars around because they're getting a baptism of love. And the goodness and the kindness of God is just leading to mass repentance. Yes. Are you getting it? So this is what God is up to. We're going to see a good, good father, a loving papa who believes in you. And we're going to be family of sons and daughters. And then we're going to lift up one another. And then we become fathers and mothers and have sons and daughters. It's not the hierarchy who is the most important. Because the fathers points to the sons points to the fathers, the son points to the spirit points to the son. That's how family looks like. I'm having the joy in 22 nations and I'm fathering a move of God's spirit where the revival is burning in 22 nations. But the fire continued to burn and it doesn't stop. It's burning 24/7 and people are burning brightly without burning out because they're burning oil of intimacy with their lover. Let's stand to our feet. So when I'm reading about Charles Finney and my story and something changed that day, I didn't know about the baptism of love. And for many years, I didn't know about the baptism of power until June 6th. I really believe that's, I spoke in tongues 10 years earlier, but I still hadn't been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I know that's kind of maybe stretch your theology, but I really do believe the power came to live a Jesus life in 95. Well, I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit in 85, 10 years earlier, and I got a prayer language. But now the baptism of love, where the liquid love of Papa touches the deepest root fear in our life. And you get that audible voice from heaven speaking into your soul. And it's just a gift to be received. Something changes in you. The way that you start to love you. And then the way you start to love people. There's such a freedom in his love. I'll give you one practical example. All my ship had been shipwrecked. And I had that sonship. I went to Hickson, Tennessee. And people ask me many times the question, how did people get to know about you, like the Randy Clark or Bill Johnson? I'll tell you just a quick story. 2,500 people was in a conference. Nobody knew who I was because I came from the Baptist at the time. But after my baptism of love, I didn't need anything any longer. I was offered all these different things. And I was like, well, I don't need it any longer because I'm a son. All I want to do is to be with Papa, receiving his love and giving love. That's all I want to do right now. And I just... these waves of love and then going into my home and into my children and around the world, the Muslims, that's what disarms them. They don't know exactly what to do. It's like you have a little child. There's something has happened. All I want to do is to love on them. And then the atmosphere starts to change because the love takes away fear. Anyway, so in this conference, we were trying to head up in the front because I saw there were some seats, 2,500 people. People like Bishop Joseph Garlington and Jack Taylor and Dr. R.T. Kendall, of many of these speakers. And the people told us, no, you need to go in the back. So we walked all the way in the back and kind of felt a little embarrassed. But then Papa God again reminded me, before you could have been humiliated, but now I already have an A+. So I walked all the way. I was sitting underneath the balcony there, the old Central Baptist Church. And now it's called Abba's House. But anyway, Bishop Joseph Garlington starts preaching. And in the middle of his sermon, he stops up. The message is quantum worship. And he stops. I said, there's this Dr. Leif. No, there's this Leif Hetland. Where are you? You're supposed to pray for me and my wife, Barbara. And I'm like, just 2 minutes early, I said, Papa, here I am, your favorite one. And why me out of two? I'm a son. When you don't need it, you can be entrusted with it. And there's freedom. I was called up, prayed. Spirit of God fell on me and the bishop. I laid on the top of the bishop, snorting, drooling, and crying on his $2,000 suit. And him and his wife Barbara afterwards prayed for all of these people. And then Randy Clark called me. Hey, I heard I prayed for you 6 years ago. What happened? And things just started to happen. But I didn't need it any longer. I just wanted to be a son. And you become a father to Pharaoh by being a son to Pharaoh. That's what Joseph did. So if we all can just, this is a simple thing. And it's not a gender thing. Because I'm a bride and you ladies are sons. And all of us guys, we're going to be bride of Christ for eternity. So this is a kingdom language. It's the spirit of sonship. So we're including, so all of us, that says Abba, Father. But I want you to just to listen to this. And then this is just a love letter from Papa God to you. Just hold out your hands in a gentle way. And I want you just to receive it. With all of this stuff that is going on all over, I think we just need this fresh baptism of love. He says, I'm going to bless the rest of your life. You're my. And you're my beloved. You're my beloved son. You're my beloved daughter. Whom I love. And whom I am well pleased. It's the last word there for about 80% of you that is going to change you, is knowing that he is well pleased with you. Knowing everything about you, he is well pleased with you. And I want you just to see us, just be in this presence for a few seconds. But it is the look of Papa when he's looking at you. It's like, wow, that's my son. That's my girl. Whoa. And just to see the joy as he's looking at you. And I'm asking also forgiveness for anyone that misrepresented Papa God. For anyone that misrepresented love. For so many years, I tried to perform to get it. And then I ask also forgiveness and people like me that constantly... for many, many years, because I didn't know this love, I lived by the love of law instead of law of love. then I try to get other people to have to do something to get Papa to be pleasing. Some of us, even with natural fathers, some of you maybe didn't have a Papa around. I saw a picture there of a 12, I don't know who it was, but one of you, it's a 12-year-old boy, and I just seeing that it's kind of a, was the last time that you started to receive love from a father, disappointment that took place. Some didn't have a dad that says, you're a beautiful girl, you're my princess, you're amazing. My culture, where we came from, we didn't show much of affection and love, and so as a result, it took me a while before I saw that God was very affectionate and just wanted to give me some hugs and kisses. Now I receive hugs and kisses from Papa God all the time. But any one of us have had a critical, perhaps you came with your 90 on your report card and the next time you can get 100. And again, first I want to ask forgiveness in behalf of them, but also for us to forgive. Could it be even natural fathers? Like my father is a great father, but he did not know, and to see where he came from. He never experienced this love. And can we start a generation of blessings that is going to flow? And it is as a family move of God's Spirit that he's doing, where everybody is living as sons and daughters. And as a result of that, there's all these other beautiful ships that will follow your ship when you have the sonship in place. So Father, I just release right now the very liquid love, the baptism of love to touch. For some, it is the 5-year-old boy, and for somebody, it's the 12-year-old. But it goes back into some of those hidden core areas in our life. With love, at least for me, I was the 12-year-old boy in my life. When it touched that very thing, something was broken in my life. And something just set me free just to be. And I just want to represent Papa God, and I can just see him and he's looking at you, and it's like looking into your eyes. It's like, well, that's my son, that's my girl. But to see the very joy of the Father, it changes everything. To wake up in the morning, Derek Prince, that many of us know, he even wrote a book on the fatherhood of God. But Derek Prince, I mean, he is old man, knew everything about the fatherhood of God and deliverance, and then he says, but I never experienced the love of Papa. And he is almost before he's dying that he has a baptism of love experience. And he says, now for the first time in my life, I know the Father's love. Now I'm ready to. It's my Papa. It's my dad. God is my dad. The one that rules the universe. That's my Papa. This revelation that brings to transformation. So Greg, I don't know exactly how we're going to finish this, but can we just hold out our hands and I make that declaration, because it's, whoa. And I just thank you, Father, for the covenant that is taking place. This is not about convenient relationship, but covenant relationship. I just felt that because some of you will have the encounter, and I will pray for people, but I want also to release for the people I need to go. But I'm just sensing here that there's something that's shifting in the atmosphere, because you're moving in, and that's why I think I came here. You're being in this inlet of transition, and it seems like it's been a long season, but there's a birth. But I felt very clearly in the city of Atlanta that one of the things that you're going to be known for is the very goodness of God. The people are going to be able to come here and taste of your special sauce, and they're going to taste and they're going to see that he is good. And that's also one of the things that's been connected from this very moment on, that you're going to experience the goodness of God on a daily basis in such a way that it's going to be coming who you are, and then it's going to be reflected in your daily life. Everywhere you go, people are going to be able to be around you, and they're going to taste and they're going to be able to see, they're going to smell the aroma of the goodness and the kindness of God. And I want you just to make this declaration together with me and say Papa, say Abba. In Swahili they say Baba. And I love the Baba. Say, I am yours. I'm your beloved. I'm your beloved son or daughter. You, Papa, you love me. You like me. You delight in me. I am your happy thought. You are excited about me. I choose for the next 28 days with your grace just to receive how you see me, what you think about me, what you feel about me, and what you have to say to me. And I'm going to receive, and I'm going to become in 28 days your love, your goodness, your kindness. Thank you, Papa, for loving me, for liking me, for being well pleased with me. No more shame, no more guilt, total freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.